Dear friends, by now you may have heard that we are in the middle of an exciting raffle. The details of this raffle can be found on www.suburbanorthodox.org/raffle. Through the shul and the institute, we have the privilege to deliver a wide variety of shiurim, lectures, and learning opportunities. But we need your help. We need your partnership. When you purchase a raffle ticket, or many, you are helping us to continue to ensure that we could spread the beautiful and meaningful message to literally all four corners of the world. Thank you in advance for your help, and much hatzlacha. All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. I'm confident that everyone did their homework. Good. I'm not checking confidence. Honor system. We're starting on Daf Nun Zayin. I see from blank expressions that some people did not. Okay, good. It's on the WhatsApp group. You'll see it. I just recorded to the end, to the Mishnah. Only this way. Again, we have a chance of finishing the Daf today. So we'll say we're picking up at the Mishnah. Nun Zayin Amud Aleph 57a at the Mishnah. Hakol Nichnasin Ladir. We'll say our shir this morning is dedicated, first of all, al Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, David and Roberta Schwartz, dedicating all of the shiurim this month in honor of the special members of the Gehila, to Amisha and Devorah Wertersheim for dedicating shiur in honor of their son Avi, who successfully completed his medical boards. Mazel tov. We said it already one way. So once we said it, halavai should be a schus. Emirat Hashem, you know, some. You know, the Gemara says there's no more nevuah now. Now there's only nevuah ultimately by children and shotim. I do some pretty foolish things in life, so therefore maybe I'm begeder shotim. So maybe halavai should be a schus that Avi should successfully complete his medical boards with shatov mitzlachos. To Naftali, to thank you to Naftali and Bela Langer. Nice to see you here. Welcome. So Le'ili Nishmas Chana Rachel Bas Naftali Yitzchak. We hope that in the merit of the Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family of Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. And the honor and to thank you to Hilly Kagan for dedicating this year in honor of the Magide Shir and Maishi Abramson, who make it possible to follow the daf via the internet. Shkoyach to everyone. Okay, we'll say. With that, let's begin. Says the Mishnah, Hakol nichnas nadir. So we'll say again, if you didn't do your homework, it was posted on the WhatsApp group. You'll see it's just a 10-minute clip to get us up to the Mishnah. Hakol nichnas nadir lehis aser. So we'll say, ultimately, again, all types of animals are included in the pen for meiser behema purposes. Chutz min akilayim, with the exception of an animal that is a result of interbreeding, trefa, an animal we'll say which is a trefa. So remember from our chulin days, what constitutes a trefa? V'yotzei dofen, an animal born via C-section, u'mechuser zman, an animal ultimately again that is mechuser zman. We'll say mechuser zman means first 7 days. Remember again, so it can't be offered up as a carbon, therefore it does not come into the Maaser Behema tally. V'ha-yosim, so any yosim. What's a yosim? Vezu yosim. Kol shemei se'ima, any animal whose mother died in childbirth. O she'nishchata v'achar kach she'yalda, or it was slaughtered and then gave birth. So we'll say any animal whose mother was not alive once the offspring came into the world. Rabbi Yeshua and Beshua says, Afilu nishchata ima. Rabbi Yeshua says, even if the mother was shechted, as long as v'ashalach kayim, the hide is still intact, we'll discuss what that means, ein ze yosim. Such an animal is not called a yosim, not called an orphan, and therefore would be included in the Maaser Behema tally. So Menahani Mili says the Gemara, from where do we know this? The Tanya Rabban is supposed to, what the Gemara is asking over here is, from where do we know all of these different exclusions? So the Mishnah just excluded a variety of different animals from the Maaser Behema count. From where do we know that? So the Tanya Rabban, Shar O Kasev Prat Le Kilayim. When the pasuk says shar o kesef, that comes to exclude kilayim, interbreeding, O'ez or an A's pratle nidme. So I'll say ultimately again, that excludes a nidme. Remember again, as Rashi points out, a nidme is the result of an A's and a Rachel. Ki valet, when it's born, pratle yotze dofen. This comes to exclude a cesarean section. V'hayosh shivas yamim, and it will be for 7 days with its mother. Pratle mechusr zman. We already saw this in yesterday's daf. That comes to exclude a mechusr zman, that an animal less than eight days old, is not included in the Ma'aser Behem account. Tachas imo, right underneath its mother, pratli yasim. This comes to exclude ultimately a yasim from Ma'aser Behema. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Baruch says, Ne'emar kan tachas hashevet, ve'ne'emar lahalan tachas imo. So we'll say, it says over here, Tachas Hashevet. This phrase is by Meister Behemo. V'chol Maser Bakar Batzon Kol Asher Ya'avor Tachas Hashevet. Excuse me. Hasir Yekodesh LaHashem. Any animal that comes under the staff, the 10th animal will be Kodesh LaHashem. So it says Tachas by Meister Behemo. V'ne'emar Lahalon Tachas Imo. And it says ultimately, and I will say this is by the Halacha, that the animal must remain with its mother for 7 days. And only from 8 days and on is it fit for the Mizbeach. So also it says, Tachas by Mechusr Zman, and it says, Tachas by Meister Behema. Watch this. Ma'a lahalan prat l'chala shemos halalu. Just like Bible said, the din of Mechusr Zman, all of these halachos that we said apply. Afkan prat l'chol hashemos halalu. So too over here by Meister Behema, we'll say, all of these exceptions apply as well. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, or I should say Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, is not arguing on the Mishnah. He's just simply highlighting or advancing the idea that perhaps these halachas come from a different source. So the Tanakhama is learning it out, ultimately, again, from the exclusions of Shar O Kesev O Eiz, learning it out from Mechusr Zman. Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, is just learning it out from a Gzira Shava of Tachas Tachas. I says the Yimar, well, if that's the case, umakan prat l'trefa. So I'll say, if you're going to say ultimately again by Ma'aser Behema, there's an exclusion or an exception for trefa, that a trefa animal is excluded from Ma'aser Behema. Af lahalon prat l'trefa. So Trebo say ultimately again, when it comes to Mechusr Zman, I should also say that there is a prat, there is an exclusion for trefa as well. To which the Gemara says, Hakol la suye mai. So Rebbe says, so when the Mishnah says Hakol, what does Hakol come to include? This is incredible. So the Gemara says, la suye hadatan rabban. Rebbe says, remember again, the Mishnah begins with an inclusive statement of Hakol nichnasin lodir lehis aser. All animals come into the pen for Meiser Behema purposes. Then the Mishnah gives a list of exclusions. These are right. Everything comes in to the pen for Meiser Behema, except for these. We know enough Gemara to know that whenever you see a phrase like Hakol, Hakol comes to include something. So obviously the Mishnah is listing the exclusions. So what does Hakol come to include? Hakol ha'asuyeh mai, le'asuyeh hadutan rabban. It comes to include the following. Here we go. So the Gemara says, harova v'hanirva, an animal ultimately again, that sodomized a human being, or that was sodomized by a person, v'amukzeh, an animal set aside for idolatry. Va'nevad, or one worshipped for idolatry. Va'esnan, or one given to a harlot as payment for her services. Va'mechir, or one sold for a dog. V'tumtum va'adrogenis, or a tumtum and an adrogenis. Kulon nichnasin lodir lehis aser. Posey, the Braisa says, all of these animals are fit for Ma'aser Behema. Interesting. All of these animals are fit for Ma'aser Behema. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon, Tumtum va'adrogenis ein nichnasin ladir lehis aser. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon, he agrees with all of them except for Tumtum and Androgynous. Tumtum and Androgynous do not go in to the pen for Ma'aser Behema purposes. So we'll say, so apparently there's a machlokus regarding Tumtum and Androgynous. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Brice is suggesting, according to the Mishnah comes to include Tumtum and Androgynous, are counted as Meister Behema animals. Rabbi Shimon saying they are not. What is at the root of this machlokas? V'tana didan. Sar Tana will say, Igin gamar tachas tachas mikadshim. So we'll say, if the Mishnah accepts the gzereshava of tachas tachas from kadshim, then haninami lo. Then tumtum and androgynous should not be included in Maaser Behema. The same way they're not included in kadshim, they shouldn't be included in Maaser Behema. V'ilo yalif. But if you don't hold of tachas tachas, then what? Hani minole. Ultimately, again, from where would I know that these? From where I know these halachas? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. The olam gomir. In reality, the Tanakama accepts the gzera shava of tachas tachas. V'hani rachmana rabinhu. And I will say, ultimately, again, even though the gzera shava of tachas tachas will tell me that just like tumtum and androgynous is excluded from kachim, so too it should be excluded from Maaser Behema. There's a ribui. What's the ribui? Here we go. Kimash chasam bahem mum bam lo yiratzu lachem. I will say, the pasuk says, when speaking about animals which are disqualified for sacrificial purposes, it says as follows: Umiyad ben nechar lo sakrivu es lechem alokechem. From the hand of a ben nechar, from the hand of a Gentile, you shall not go ahead and offer up the bread to your God. Mikol eila kimash chasam bahem. But say literally again, their destructiveness is inside of them. Mum bam. Ultimately, again, the mum is inside of it, or mum bam. The mum is on it. Lo yiratzu lachem. It will not be acceptable to you, or it will not be an acceptable carbon. This is an incredible drasha. Watch this. The Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel. Kol makom shenei marbo hashchasa. They will say, wherever you see a lashon of hashchasa, this is incredible. Hashchasa will say means destructiveness. Wherever you see a lashon of hashchasa, eino ela dvar erva va'avod zara. Rabbi says hashchasa always refers to either a matter of immorality or idolatry. How do I know that? Dvar erva dichsev ki yesh chizkol baser as darko ala aretz. So we'll say dvar erva because we'll say this comes ultimately again back in Bereshis. That ultimately again this is by the Dor HaMabul. Chizkol Baruch Hu saw ki yesh chizkol darko baser darko aretz, and that was a reference to morality. Avod zara. Dichsev pein tashchis un vasisu lachem pesel tumunas kol sema tavnis zacha unikeva. The chol shamun posel bo tivar erva va'avod zara posel bo. So we'll say, watch this. The Torah equates, in this passage, the Torah equates a mum, ultimately again with a dvar hashchasa, which the Gemara understands to mean as follows. Any situation where a mum invalidates a matter of immorality or idolatry will invalidate as well. The chol she'en hamum posel bo. And whenever a mum does not invalidate, then what? Dvar erva va'avod zara postin bo. I'm sorry. Ain dvar erva va'avod zara postin bo. So we'll say, this is actually an incredible drasha. The Gemara's understanding through the pasuk that there is a relationship between a mum and ultimately a dvar erva and a dvar avod zara. To teach me as follows. Whenever a mum disqualifies, a dvar avod zara or erva disqualifies as well. Whenever a mum does not disqualify, a matter of erva or avodah zara will not disqualify either. Now watch this. Where does this come up? Get ready for this. V'hai meiser, but when it comes to meiser behema, then what? Hoyo v'lo pasul be'muma. Remember again, this is incredible. When it comes to meiser behema, mum does not disqualify. Right? You're supposed to say, even an animal with a mum is part of the Maaser Behema count. Tichsev, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. They both say, now again, what happens if the 10th animal is a Baal Mum is something we'll discuss. But for our purposes right now, an animal which is a Baal Mum is part of the Maaser Behema cohort, which means that a Mum does not disqualify by Maaser Behema. So we'll say, based on what we just said, therefore, what's that locha? If mum does not disqualify, therefore what? A dvar erva and a dvar avod zara does not disqualify as well. Therefore, again, so muma, so Gemara says, v'hai meiser, hoil v'lo pasol be muma, dichsiv, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra v'lo yimirenu, dvar erva v'avod zara, nami lo pasol be. Therefore, I will say, a matter of immorality and a matter of avodah zarah will not disqualify by the Meister Behema as well. Therefore, what? Rova, Venirva, Tvar Erva. Therefore, I will say, even if the animal sodomized or was sodomized, it will not disqualify it for Meister Behema purposes. Muktza, Vinevad, Avodah Zarah. We'll say ultimately again, Muktza and Avad, if it was set aside for Avodah Zarah or worshipped for Avodah Zarah, those are Avodah Zarah things. And again, will not disqualify by Meister Behema. Esnan, if it's an animal that was given to a harlot for her payment, ultimately that's Tvar Erva, not disqualified. Umichir, and Avodah Zarah, an animal sold for a dog. Iskish La Esnan. Ultimately, again, that's compared to an Esnan Zona. And therefore, again, will not be disqualified. I will say, now we understand. This is quite incredible. This is why, according to the Braisa, all of these animals are still fit for Meister Behema purposes. Sodomized, was sodomized, worshipped the Avodah Zarah, set aside for Avodah Zarah. Esnan, Nechir Kelev. Why? Because of this unique relationship between Mum and Devar Avodah Zarah and Erva. If it's disqualified because of Mum, then it's disqualified because of Dvar Erva and Avodah Zarah. If it's not disqualified because of Mum, then it's not disqualified because of Dvar Erva and Avodah Zarah. Meister Behema, as much as it is under this, what we call generally, we assume it's under this Kachim umbrella, is unique. Because in order to be part of the Meister Behema cohort, a Mum does not disqualify. If a Mum does not disqualify, a Dvar Erva and a Dvar Avodah Zarah does not disqualify as well. Quite incredible. But now we understand. However, Tumtum Vandrogenous. Lost the place. Tumtum Vandrogenous. So we'll say, what about the case of Tumtum and Androgynous? Kasavar Svekahu. But we'll say, ultimately, again, when it comes to Tumtum and Androgynous, so the Gemara, the Bryce says, assuming that it is a Suffake. And ultimately, again, because it's a Suffake, they will say, again, you cannot use it for Meister Behema. Well, actually, I take that back. So that's a statement. Tumtum Androgynous is a Suffake. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Kasavar Svekahu Miet Rachmana Gabi Kachim. I was saying Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that when it comes to a Suffolk animal ultimately again is excluded from Kachim. Why? Zachar Vadai Unikeva Vadais Velo Tumtum Vaadrogenous. But in general, when it comes to Kachim, right, we need definitive gender. Right? Either a definitive Zachar or a definitive Nikeva. Something that is a Suffolk is simply excluded from the realm of Kachim. I will say, now that's by Kachim. My tsunami gomar, tachas mi Kachim. I will say, ultimately, again, remember again, we subscribe to the Gzeira Sheva of tachas, and therefore, alocha lemaisa, just like by Kachim, you need definitive gender, no gender ambiguity or confusion. By Kachim, therefore, alocha lemaisa, tachas says, that's the same thing by Meister Behema, and therefore no Tumtum and Androgynous by Meister Behema. So we'll say, what comes out is really something dramatically amazing. The Mishnah goes in and lists all of the exclusions, as we saw, either we're just learning it out from a drasha from the Pasuk of Muchos Rizman, or Gzir Shah, Tachas, but then when we focus on the Hakol comes to really include a surprising number of animals in the halachas of Meister Behema. So Nirva, Rova, Muktza, Ne'evad, Mechir Kelev, Esnan, Zona, excluding Tumtum and Androgynous. And I will say, that comes down to, again, the halacha that we just said before, namely, the only time that these items are excluded is when, I should say differently, there is a relationship between Mum and all of these other disqualifications. When an animal is disqualified Alts Mum, then it's disqualified Alts Avodah Zarah and Erva. When it's not disqualified because of Mum, it's not disqualified because of Avodah Zarah and Erva. Meister Behema is not disqualified because of Mum, therefore no exclusion of Erva and Avodah Zarah. Tumtum and Androgynous are mostly will be excluded. Why? Because they are Shav of Tachas from Kachin. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Tana Baran, Hakol Michnas and Ladir Lehis Aser. All animals go into the pen for Meister Behema purposes. Chutz Minakilayim vatrefa divrei Rabbi Elazar Yehuda ish kfar bartosa shamar mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Suppose I said now we have a brisa that's like our mishnah, just that limits it a bit. All animals go into the pen for Meister Behema purposes, with the exception of kilayim and trefa. These are the words of Rabbi Elazar Yehuda from the village of Bartosa, who said this over in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. So also Rabbi Yoshua has a much smaller list than our mishnah. I'm going to be Akiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Ani shamati, af hayotze dofen, umuchusr zman, vahayosim. Rabbi Kiva says, I heard that there are some more disqualifications. Right? Yotze dofen, C-section, muchusr zman, an animal less than 8 days old, and a yosim, and as the Mishnah defined, the yosim is an animal whose mother would be either shechted before it was born or died in childbirth. So Rabbi Kiva heads on to the list. The Tanakamo, ikamar tachas mikachim, hani nami lo. So we'll say, let's analyze this. The Tanakamo, see if he holds the gzer shev of tachas, then indeed, like Rabbi Akiva, these animals should also be prohibited. Vi lo gamar, and if he doesn't hold tachas, bishlama trefa, so let's listen to this. If he doesn't hold of tachas, then what? I understand the exclusion of treva. Why? Because the pasuk says kala sheyavar tachas hashevet. So what means what? That in order for the animal to be part of the ma'aser behema cohort, it has to pass under the staff. That I will say now a treva. One of the disqualifications of a treva is an animal who's like missing its leg from the joint, which means ultimately, again, the animal would not be able to walk underneath the shevet. So we'll say, so that's an example of a trefa, but ultimately, again, would mean that we would exclude a trefa from Maaser Behema. Ela kilayim minole, but from where would he know that kilayim is excluded? To which the Gemara says, the olam gamar. In reality, he learns the tachas drasha. So we'll say, ubiotze dofen, when it comes to a cesarean section, Savarlok Reb Shimon. He holds ultimately like Reb Shimon, who holds the Amar, Yotze Dofen Vlad Ma'al Yehu. We'll say he holds, Tanakama holds like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon does not make the distinction between natural birth and Yotze Dofen. He holds that even an animal that is born as a Yotze Dofen, a cesarean section, is a Vlad Ma'al Yehu, his regular offspring. Udolo Reb Yochanan. And I will say, not like Rabbi Yochanan. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vlad ma'al yuhu. Vlad ma'al yuhu. Look at Rashi. Mesechus, nida perak yotze dofen, kan Reb Shimon dehari zeki, yalod v'imo t'mea leida. Fine. Reb Zolk Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi says, that rahasam ha'u pirka, d'mod Reb Shimon le'in kachim, she'ino kadosh to gamar leida leidin mechur de bayi rechem. Fine. Mechusar zman, when it comes to mechusar zman, sovla Reb Shimon Yehuda. He holds like Reb Shimon Yehuda. I will say, what does Reb Shimon Yehuda hold? Reb Shimon Yehuda holds that even a mechusar zman goes into the pen, ultimately again for meiser behema purposes. The Gemara says, mechusar zman, sovla Reb Shimon Yehuda, yasum. We'll say, what's the case of Yasum? This is incredible. Kigon Shashalach Kayim. We'll say, what would be the case of Yasum where he would allow the animal to be counted for Maisa Behema? So remember again, the case of Yasum is where the mother died either in childbirth or was shechted before the child was born. So the Tanakama goes ahead and excludes it. Why does this opinion hold that such an animal could ultimately be included in Maisa Behema? It would be a situation where the hide is intact. Now this is incredible. Rabbi Yeshua b'tamei, and I will say this is Rabbi Yeshua according to his reasoning. Because what does Rabbi Yeshua hold? Da'amra afilu shachat esimo, v'ashalach kayom ein ze yasam. Well, say Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that if you shechted the mother, but the hide is intact, ultimately again this is not called a yasam. Then I will say, now this is actually, we're going to expound this in just a moment. So we'll say, let's analyze this for just a moment. The Gemara's definition of a yasum up until this point is a child that comes into this world and the mother is not alive. There is no point in time where the mother and child are both alive the same time in this world. By the time the child is birthed, the mother is already dead. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua holds that like this. As long as the mother's hide is intact, at the time that the child is born, the child is not called a yasum. I will say, now what are the ramifications of that for us? As long as the child is not a yasum, then what? Then ultimately, again, that child could count towards the Meiser Behema cohort. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Heyed Rabbi Shua ben Sasriel, Me'arkas Levana, Lifnei Rabbi b'mkomeinu. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel, interesting name, from Arkas Levana, that's the name of his place. He testified in front of Rebbe, who was in our place. And what did he testify about? Here we go. Mafshitin es hamesa. Now let's listen to this. As we're going to see, by the way, Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel was just giving over information. He wasn't specifically talking about Meister Behema. He's giving information. We are now utilizing that information and applying that to our case. It's incredible. First thing he said was Mafshitin es hamesa. When an animal would die in childbirth or before childbirth, what we would do is after the baby is born, we would take the hide of the mother, mafshitin es hamesa, remove the hide from the mother, umabishin es hachayah, and we would wrap the baby in that hide. We would wrap the baby in that hide. So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, after he heard this, niskala taima, now I understand the reason of the Mishnah right before. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that a Yasim ultimately again is excluded from Meister Behema. But what did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Yoshua said that as long as the hide is intact, the child is not called a Yasim. What did Rabbi Yoshua mean about saying? Yoshua apparently was referencing this practice where ultimately again if the mother died, even in childbirth, as long as the hide was intact, they would take the hide of the mother, wrap the baby in the hide, and essentially allow, apparently wrapping the baby in the hide, would allow the baby ultimately to thrive in the time after birth as if it was being, I guess, cared for by the mother herself. Look at Rashi. Es hamesa, kishemekasha machma savlad, mafshitin or haim, shehi mesa, so apparently again, in the absence of a mother to care for the offspring, this act of swaddling the baby, the offspring, in the hide of the mother would allow the baby to survive. It's actually quite moving. So that I would say that was the first thing. Now again, I want to be clear. Remember again, as we're going to see in just a moment, these were a bunch of statements made by Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel. Next thing he said, Chazirin shebim komenu. It was saying, Chazirin in this context does not mean a chazir. It means heads of lettuce. Heads of lettuce. Right? The heads of lettuce in our place. Yesh lahem shishim revo kilofim bebeis hameses shalom. The lettuce in our place, when you cut it open, it has 600,000 folds in the inner leaves. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. So first of all, Rashi says, "Niskala tamos shemishnasenu tevadai mishum haki kamar biyoshua im nolad kozman shor shashalach kaim in yasim." So we'll say. So again, remember the Gemara now commented based on the statement of Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel. We now understood the statement of Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah. That Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah said that if the mother dies in childbirth, but the hide is still intact, the child is not called the Yasim, and therefore wood can still be counted ultimately, again, for Meister Behema purposes. The next thing that Rabbi Yoshua ben Sasriel said is that the heads of lettuce in our locale, when you open them up, they have 600,000 folds in the inner leaves. Rashi says, based on Meses, Hainu osan alim kitanim kimo habasar atzmo sheyesh ba'osa ameses shalei mishikonsa. Right, so also, when you open it up, 600,000 folds. Pamachos, another statement of Rabbi Shlomo ben Sasriel. Pamachos, I will say. So by the way, the Marashah comments on that. It says what does that mean? There are 600,000 folds in the head of lettuce, and who cares? I will say. So first of all, what he's trying to show, obviously, we're going to see all of these statements are incredibly hyperbolic. The point that he was trying to make is that ultimately, again, there's Torah in everything. There's Ruchnius in everything. And everything in the world is powered ultimately through the power of Torah. And when one looks at the world with Torah Dika eyes, one is able to see Torah, Ruchnius, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. To the point that even in the inner folds of the leaves of the lettuce, there are spiritual lessons to be learned. If you look at those leaves with the right set of eyes, and I will say, isn't this true? Everything is based on the eyes you look at the world. If you look with cynical, sarcastic, jaded eyes, the world is a wonderful ocean of cynicism. There's always something to say. There's always a comment to make. There's always a jab to be had. But if you look at the eyes, if you look at the world with the eyes of Ruchnius, eyes of Torah, eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition there's spiritual beauty to be seen in every person, in every situation, and certainly in yourself. He goes on. Pam achas nafal erez echashim kominu. One time a cedar tree fell down in our place. Va'avru sheish asrei kronos al chudo. And we'll say, so one time a cedar tree fell down in our place, and ultimately what happened? 16 wagons were able to drive over the spine of the chinars. The cedar was so wide that 16 wagons side by side were able to drive on the trunk of the wagon. We'll say, on the trunk of the cedar. Obviously, again, hyperbolic. We'll say, what's the message over here? So perhaps it's like this. We'll say, remember again, what's the message of the cedar? Tzadik katamar yifrach, ki erez balavanon yiskeh. Ultimately, you know, we'll say, remember again, so the interesting part about the cedar, right? The tzadik is compared to both the tamar, the date palm, and the cedar. Why both? The cedar is strong, but it doesn't produce fruit. The date palm is not as strong, but it produces fruit. What's the job of the tzaddik? The job of the tzaddik, ultimately, again, is to be, in order to be a tzaddik, you have to have this twofold. You have to be a tamar and an erez. You have to be personally strong, and you have to give fruit to others. Right? If you're just strong yourself, but you don't give anything to anyone, not enough. If you give to other people, but you're not personally strong, your fruits are diminished and your fruits are weak. The tzaddik has to be the strong cedar, personally strong, and at the end of the day, have to give fruit to others. What's the message over here? I will say the cedar has to be wide enough that the wagons of others could pass over it. Right? The cedar has to be wide enough that the tzaddik is never just out for himself. The tzaddik always has to be able to support the weight of the needs of others on his shoulders. Even 16 wagon loads, right, across, the tzaddik has to have such broad shoulders to support the needs of the am. Next. Pamachos, naflas beitzas bar yuchni. This is incredible. Let's say, so one time, this is incredible. The bar yuchni, the bar yuchni is a bird. One time, which is a very large bird. The bar yuchni one time dropped one of its eggs, the tava shisha krachim, and when the egg cracked, 6 cities drowned in the liquid of the egg. The shalosh meos, sorry, 60 cities, excuse me, thank you. 60 cities drowned in the liquid of the egg. And what happens? B'shavra shalosh meos arazim. And 300 cedars ultimately, again, were broken. It's a big egg. Big egg. You're supposed to say, watch this. So the Gemara says, here's what's amazing. So the Gemara says, Umi shajile? So we'll say, like, this is the big kasha. Does the bar yuchni go ahead and throw down its eggs? Chasa shalom vaksiv. Knaf renanim nelsa. We'll say, so the Rashi over here quotes the Dashi in this pasuk and says, the way the bar yuchni works, I will say, is the beauty of the bar yuchni is it flies very high and then it slowly deposits its egg in the nest. Slowly deposits its egg in the nest. So would the bar yuchni ever go ahead and what? And discard its egg, drop its egg? Amravashi hahu muzartahavi. So Ravashi says it was a rotten egg. Right? It was an egg that had no chick, an egg that was not going to fertilize, and the bar yuchni discards that type of egg. But say, he's here, the incredible Moser. You have to know in life which eggs to keep in your nest and which eggs to discard. Because the eggs that should be discarded, I will say, sometimes are rotten through and through. And not only do they ruin your nest, but they could ultimately ruin cities. They could destroy cedars. Life is all about knowing, I will say, which midos, which attributes, which character traits, what should you keep in your nest, which influences should you keep in your nest, and what ultimately, again, should you discard? So let's say, so three incredible pieces of Musar, one of which was necessary in order to go ahead and teach us the halacha and the Mishnah, the other teaching us incredible life lessons as well. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Granos Lemais Shabeim. We'll say, here we're going to come to a very interesting halacha. There are three different granos. That we'll say, granos literally means threshings. We're really, in this context, what it means is three different intervals. Three intervals for Mais Shabeimah. What are the three intervals? The pros ha-pesach. Pros ha-pesach. Suppose actually, if you look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Shalosh gronos ma'isra behema. Kolomar, b'sholosh prakim b'shana, havis man ma'isra behema. At three different times throughout the year, is the zman, is the time for ma'isra behema. Shabehemos sheyoldulo, bein parek leperek, sarach lo la'asr kishiyagia ha-perek. So it says, we're going to say like this. See, we're going to get into when exactly is there an obligation to do Meister Behema? When does obligation exist? So we're going to see essentially is there are three different times throughout the year where there is a proper time for Meister Behema. That if the interval arrives, it's time to do Meister, and you really should not eat of the animals without tithing the flock at that particular interval. That's going to be the basic halacha. Aval kol dim lachin mutter, the mitzvah ba'amuhu la'aser be'imosav, ta'asiri kodesh, fine. So let's say, so one of the three intervals, and again, we'll discuss this in greater depth in the Gemara, but one of the three intervals, the pros ha-pesach, so let's say, so for now, I'll translate it ultimately again as literally halfway to Pesach, which as we're going to mean 15 days before Pesach. Ubeprosad Seres, 15 days before Shavuos. Ubeprosad Chag, 15 days before Sukkis. Hein Granos Shal Meister Behema. We'll say these are the Meister Behema intervals, which means, again, sounds like what it means is, when you get to these points, if you have not yet done Meister Behema on your flock, you really should do so prior to consuming any of the animals. Div Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai says, he disagrees on the intervals. Be'asher v'tisha ba'adar, 29th of Adar. Be'achar b'sivan, 1st of Sivan. Be'asher v'tisha ba'av, 29th of Av. These are the granos. Rabbi Shimon Omrim, pe'achar b'nisan, echad b'sivan, be'asher v'tisha ba'elul. Okay, so what's this? Obviously, there's just some level of machlokis exactly what the intervals are. Apparently, everyone's agreeing that that there are three times throughout the year. Machlokis is just what those three times are. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, by the way, why are you saying 29th of Elul and not Rosh Hashanah, 1st of Tishrei? In other words, the Gemara is saying, whenever we speak about intervals, so it sounds like intervals are always like, if possible, if you're already at the 29th of Elul, why not make it the 1st of Tishrei? Because the Gemara says, ultimately, the 1st of Tishrei is a Yomtiv. The Afshar La'asra B'Yomtiv. But remember again, we don't take Trumas and Maestris on Yom Tov in general, right? It's a prohibition to be Maaser, whether it's your food or it's your flock, on Rosh Hashanah, or on any Yom Tov or Shabbos, that matter. Therefore, we make it the 29th of El. Lefichach, hikdimu be'asav v'tishu El. Therefore, again, we push back the date to the 29th of El. Rabbi Meir says, be'echad be'elu Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema. Rabbi Meir says, that Rosh Chodesh Elul is the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema. Ben Azai Omar, Ha'elulim Nis'asrim B'fnei Atzman. What's very interesting about it? Ben Azai says, the Elulim, animals born during Elul are part of their own cohort. We'll see why. They're tithed on their own. Kala Nolodim Me'echar B'tishrei Ad Esrim B'tisha B'Elul Hare Elul Mitzdarfin. I will say, here's what's interesting. After we get finished saying that there are three different intervals for Meister Behema, possibly four, if you reckon the Elulim, the Elul animals as their own cohort, the Mishnah says, but by the way, all animals born between the 1st of Tishrei and the 29th of Elul, meaning born in one calendrical year, Hari Elul Mitzdarfin, we'll say all of those form one Meister Behema cohort. So we'll see how to reconcile this. On one hand, the Mishnah is telling me that there are three different intervals from Meister Behema. Then it says what? Then Allah Chalamaisa, all animals born between Rosh Hashanah and the 29th of Elul are really part of one cohort. The Mishnah goes on. So, Chamisha Bnei Rosh Hashanah, Chamisha L'Achar Rosh Hashanah, Eim Estarfin. If you have five animals born before the first of Tishrei, five animals born after the first of Tishrei, they are not mitzarif. They do not combine to form a ma'aser b'hem a cohort. Chamish lefnei agorin v'chamish la'achar agorin, hari elam mitzarifin. But I will say, if you have five born before one of the goren dates mentioned in the Mishnah, and five born after one of the goren dates mentioned in the Mishnah, they are mitzarif. I will say, that's what we just said before. Animals born in the same calendrical year are all mitzarif. Even if five are born before one of the goren dates, five are born after one of the other goren dates, they're mitzarif. Aye, if that's the case, im kein lama ne'emru shalosh koronos l'maiser behema. So we'll say, so now if you're telling me, this is Avi Shaila, if you're telling me that all animals born during the same calendrical year, between the first of Tishrei and the 29th of Elul, are all part of the same goren, if that's the case, then what? Why do you give me these three granos? What's the point exactly of these three interval dates? To which the Gemara says, Sha'ad shelo higia ha-goren, mutar limkar v'lishchot. Because I will say, until the goren date comes along, there are no limitations on your usage of your flock. You could sell, you could shecht, however, higia ha-goren, lo yishchot. I will say, once the goren date comes, then reality, again, the halacha is, you really should be tithing your flock. And you really ultimately, again, should not be partaking of that flock, neither selling it nor shechting it until you've gone ahead and done Maiser Behema. However, Vimshachat Pater, let's say if it turns out that you ate from your animals without doing Maiser Behema, ultimately, again, you are Pater. So if Rabbi say, what comes out of here is as follows. Halach l'maisa, all animals born during the same calendrical year, from 1st of Tishrei to the 29th of Elul, are all part of the same Maiser Behema cohort. What's the point of the Granus? We'll say the Granus tell you, you really should be doing Maiser Behema at these intervals. Obviously, we'll say, you only have to do Maiser Behema once per cohort. You don't have to keep doing it every single time. Once per cohort, you have to do it. So any animals born during a particular calendrical year, you have to do it. The point of the Granus, we'll say, is to say, come on, you really should be doing Maiser Behema now. If you have not done it yet, you really should do it before eating these animals, selling these animals. But Allah says, as long as you've did it once over the course of the calendrical year for the particular cohort, you've satisfied your obligation. Well, now we're going to pick up your answer, Shem, and thank you, Mara, tomorrow.
This reminded me, the sugya about the tzaddik has to be both strong.